open. "Why would anyone drug themselves before a test?" Rin asked as the proctor stretched her eyelids. The proctor didn't respond. Satisfied, she waved Rin down the hallway where other prospective students waited in a straggly line. Their hands were empty, faces uniformly tight with anxiety. They had brought no materials to the test. Pens could be hollowed out to contain scrolls with answers written on them.
"Hands out where we can see them,"
ordered the male proctor, walking to the front of the line.
"Sleeves must remain rolled up past the elbow. From this point forward, you do not speak to one another. If you have to urinate, raise your hand. We have a bucket in the back of the room."
"What if I have to shit?"
a boy asked. The proctor gave him a long look.
"It's a 12-hour test,"
the boy said defensively. The proctor shrugged.
"Try to be quiet."
Rin had been too nervous to eat anything that morning. Even the thought of food made her nauseated. Her bladder and intestines were empty. Only her mind was full, crammed with an insane number of mathematical formulas and poems and treatises and historical dates to be spilled out on the test booklet. She was ready. The examination room fit 100 students. The desks were arranged in neat rows of 10. On each desk sat a heavy exam booklet, an inkwell, and a writing brush. Most of the other provinces of Nikon had to section off entire town halls to accommodate the thousands of students who attempted the exam each year. But Tikani Township in Rooster Province was a village of farmers and peasants. Tikani's families needed hands to work the fields more than they did university-educated brats. Tikani only ever used the one classroom. Rin filed into the room along with the other students and took her assigned seat. She wondered how the examinees looked from above. Neat squares of black hair, uniform blue smocks, and brown wooden tables. She imagined them multiplied across identical classrooms throughout the country right now, all watching the water clock with nervous anticipation. Rin's teeth chattered madly in a staccato that she thought everyone could surely hear, and it wasn't just from the cold. She clamped her jaw shut, but the shuddering just spread down her limbs to her hands and knees. The writing brush shook in her grasp, dribbling black droplets across the table. She tightened her grip and wrote her full name across the booklet's cover page. Fang Runin. She wasn't the only one who was nervous. Already there were sounds of retching over the bucket in the back of the room. She squeezed her wrist, fingers closing over pale burn scars, and inhaled. Focus. In the corner, a water clock rang softly.
"Begin,"
said the examiner. 100 test booklets were opened with a flapping noise, like a flock of sparrows taking off at once. 2 years ago, on the day Takani's magistracy had arbitrarily estimated to be her 14th birthday, Rin's foster parents had summoned her into their chambers. This rarely happened. The Fongs liked to ignore Rin until they had a task for her. And then they spoke to her the way they would command a dog.
"Lock up the store. Hang up the laundry. Take this packet of opium to the neighbors and don't leave until you've scalped them for twice what we paid for it."
A woman Rin had never seen before sat perched on the guest's chair. Her face was completely dusted over with what looked like white rice flour, punctuated with caked up dabs of color on her lips and eyelids. She wore a bright lilac dress dyed with a plum flower pattern, cut in a fashion that might have suited a girl half her age. Her squat figure squeezed over the sides like a bag of grain.
"Is this the girl?"
the woman asked.
"She's a little dark. The inspector won't be too bothered, but it'll drive your price down a bit."
Rin had a sudden, horrifying suspicion of what was happening.
"Who are you?"
she demanded.
"Sit down, Rin,"
said Uncle Fang. He reached out with a leathery hand to maneuver her into a chair. Rin immediately turned to flee. Auntie Fang seized her arm and